Hello, Attactioneers. Welcome to the Attack Action Podcast, High Seas Edition. I'm your captain, Captain Redstash.
No, I'm your captain, Captain Snack Barrel.
And no matter what happens in the mutiny, I'll be okay as Blake Plankwalker.
And Zane's here as
the guy who fell off the boat.
Yeah, we made him walk the plank. He's in the brig. He's swabbing the poop deck.
No, we put him in the boo box, baby, because...
Ooh, I just watched Captain or Hook the other day, and we were all like, oh, fuck, the boo box is fucked up, man.
Dude, you know that's Meryl Streep, right?
What do you mean?
The pirate they put in the boo box is Meryl Streep.
It's no
Glenn
way.
Close, I thought.
Oh, is it Glenn Close? Fuck, yeah, it's Glenn Close, yeah.
Almost has three Oscars and one of those people has zero.
Yeah, one of them is the GOAT and the other person is
pretty Glenn Close every year.
Oh my god,
I didn't realize there was such shade for fucking Glenn Close.
Well, let's just be real, okay?
She's got three Golden Globes, three Tonys, and eight nominations for an Oscar. So let's, you know, show the lady and primetime Emmy awards. So,
like, yeah, I mean, just
would you rather top eight times or win one pro tour?
I mean, if it's you, I know you would. I know your answer.
I know what your bitch ass thinks.
We are hyped up for this podcast.
Pop off,
dude! We're gonna pop. We're gonna pop off. It says it first thing in the notes. Taylor goes off. So I'm going to go off.
It says Taylor goes a woof.
Yeah, shout out to the newly announced German calling. So it's German. There you go. Before we continue to have some more fun, we'll do some life updates. And I will just go first because mine is the most intense. So here's what's going on in my life. Last week, I got pink slipped at my job. So the run of high school teacher / athletic director / basketball coach era is probably coming to an end here. I don't know what my employment status will be later. So we got that going on, but we're feeling fine about it. I was talking to the buds that are here with me now about this, and I was just looking at what other local jobs there are, and I would have 10 hours less of commute time every week, and if I got paid the minimum salary they would be offering, I would make $10,000 more. So, doesn't seem too bad.
That's one assassin deck. So,
yeah. So, just got to get hired for those jobs. If you know any jobs, I'm looking for jobs. It's pretty good to have a podcast because now I just reached dozens of people, you know, in the
How many are in your area that can give you a job within driving distance?
That's true. At least two. So then also the probably saddest news of all is me and my ex-wife are separated and have been for a while now. I've been thinking about talking about it on the podcast briefly, and now I'm just at a place where I can say that. So that's what's happening in my life. I'm divorced and jobless, but I still got my podcast, so I'm okay.
Blake and I actually have something to talk to you about.
It's okay. It's like, you know,
when he said mutiny, he actually was being literal.
Well, you're gonna have to kill me because this is the only thing I have left. So
we got each other in our friendship and
yeah,
the wonderful game of flesh and blood.
We totally do. So it's, you know, it's all sad stuff, but I'm doing fine. You know, I think all of these things are going to lead to a much better life for myself, and it'll be much healthier, etc. You know, so it's going to be positive for sure. It's going to be a positive change. It's just hard because it's a lot at once. But you know, my close friends and some other people have been super supportive, especially Blake and Colin have been really great. So I got a good, that's like one of the best things I think about, I mean, it's not really, but it's really affirming that when you go through some stuff, that you have the type of friends like Blake and Colin who are just like, dude, I am here for you in the whatever way you need. And, you know, that's just really affirming to have friendships like that, and is makes it feel not as soul crushing as maybe it could feel. So that has been pretty good. So, and I just say this just to all of this to just kind of, you know, we share a lot of personal stuff on this podcast, and it's a really important part of my life. All of you listening, if this is your first episode, hello, welcome, thank you. But if this is your, you know, second or 400th listen of the podcast, just I appreciate you, and totally okay to reach out. I'm not doing it for, you know, sympathy votes or whatever. But
if you want to join the Patreon, it's the best time ever to cheer up Taylor a little bit.
Exactly. So that's what's going on with my life. But I am doing fine. I'm happy. You know, other stuff's got to happen. I got to sell this house, so eventually the studio will look different, and you know, that'll be cool. We'll make it cooler in here. So,
did I tell you this analogy / for anybody else that's going through this as well, of like relationships and marriages? One way that it was told to me once that I was like, that gives me so much peace. If I am a future divorcee, my parents got divorced. That's in my life. I've always been a thought process about this, but like, think of it as a restaurant of like, restaurants are hard. If you had the most popular restaurant in your city for 10 years and everyone came to the restaurant and they loved it, and it was a place where everyone was like, oh my gosh, you would never be like, you would say like, oh, maybe I wish that restaurant had gone for another 10 years, but it's like, it ran its course, or it wasn't in the right neighborhood, or whatever. But some restaurants are there for 57 years of the same lasagna, but that doesn't make them a better restaurant or a less better restaurant. And like that, there's something about like, we had a really good restaurant for 12 years. Why can't we say the same thing about a marriage for that same type of thought process?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great analogy. And, you know, there's no, you know, this is not a, I don't know how to say this, I guess. It is amicable, you know, separation. And, you know, my ex gave me 10 years of her life, and that's a lot of time to give someone. And so that's, you know, I can only be grateful for that time that they dedicated to me, you know? So here we go. The doors are closing to this restaurant.
What was your favorite recipe? No, that's okay. This is where it dies. All in.
So if my relationship was a pasta, I think it would be an anglioni, because it's hard to spell and pronounce.
Boy, is it good. Wow. I'm a big analogy guy. I don't know. Analogies, it seems so much easier to explain stuff when you can be like, you know, you're feeling when you're on a roller coaster. It's like that.
Yeah, like I'm about to vomit any moment. And then I have shaky legs.
That was really fun, and I want to do it again immediately afterwards.
But first, I'm going to eat this funnel cake.
You can do it at the same time. It's a skill thing. So rumor has it that I was on vacation last time we were recording. That's why I was not here. in
you weren't here in the last episode,
the legally distinct and non-canonical episode that happened supposedly last time. But those rumors are wrong because we got COVID and didn't go on vacation and just stayed home for a week. And it was bad. So that's where I've been. We watched a lot of shows, which was fun. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, like, can you like go on your trip again? And it's like, well, no, because it was my brother-in-law's 40th birthday trip with like 16 of our friends. And so that will never happen again. So that was... that sucked, but dang. You know, that's how it goes sometimes. You go to a one-year-old's birthday party and maybe you get COVID there, so you don't get to go on vacation.
Nope, never go to small children's birthday parties. That's the rule of thumb.
If I find out which kid gave me COVID, I will never let them know because they're a sweet, innocent child and it's not their fault.
Are they though?
Sure, why not? So what have I been doing? I've mostly been coughing. So if I cough on this episode, excuse me. I'm still getting over that bit, but, you know, not sick anymore. So that's good. We watched a lot of shows. We watched Paradise. If you guys haven't watched Paradise on Hulu, very good. I won't say anything about it other than it's a murder mystery where the president gets murdered and his Secret Service agent friend has to solve it. But it's so much more than that. It's crazy. It's like really crazy. Sterling K. Brown, very talented actor. And James Marsden is the president, also a talented actor. They got good chemistry. We liked it. We watched, the new Netflix show that's kind of about the Lakers owners with, Running
ball,
Point.
Ball, yeah. And it's, Hudson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very funny. It is good. I
could not do the first episode.
Really? I mean, if you're a basketball guy, I don't know if it's good. But for a casual, TV enjoyer, it was fun. We watched it. What else did we watch? I feel like we watched one more thing that was good. Oh, we started watching The Pit. I also recommend The Pit. It's like,
ooh, that's good.
13 hour or 14 hour shift of like ER doctors, and it's all real time. And it's made by the guy who did ER back in the 90s, and it's got Noah Wiley, who was also in ER back in the 90s, but it's very good. It's intense and interesting and funny. There's one doctor who's like a student doctor who keeps getting shit like all over him, so he has to keep changing his scrubs, whether it's blood or other human fluids or not.
Why do you gotta say it like that?
It's really some really funny moments, but we're intense too. I'm not a big doctor show guy. I just like doctor and lawyer shows, but this one's good. Not too much surgery that you have to look at, so you know that's good because I don't like the fake surgery. It freaks me out. That's what I do. I told Jess I couldn't be a doctor because I would just do this when the blood started flying. It's like, no, I'm getting annoyed. So yeah, that's a bit of a curveball for our, you know, time off, but doing okay. And just moving on, getting ready for summer. Barbecue season started barbecuing, so things are on the up and up out here in the suburbs of Los Angeles.
I'll drive over tomorrow.
We'll have you down soon.
Some corn on the cob?
Could be. Blake, how you doing?
Oh, you know, I was rock bottom 2 weeks ago, and then
Taylor is showing you up there, so you can't complain about anything now.
I think
that's how that works. Only one person can feel bad.
Yeah. I have been catching up on everything staying ready to go of like Invincible, White Lotus, and Severance have all been in the middle of their stuff. It's very interesting. Invincible, I feel like I'm a little bit too old for, and everybody's like, that was a masterpiece episode. And I was like, okay, yep. Pop off. And then Severance was kind of like, what are we doing? We're going all over the place. But the finale happened literally 2 days ago.
No spoilers. I haven't watched it yet.
And it was hella good. And I can't say anything else because Colin hasn't seen it.
I'll just take my headphones off.
This is a pretty good of Survivor. Pretty good at a season of Survivor so far. If you want to watch a Survivor podcast, I have one of those. Just right in the. I'll send it to you.
Whoa! You can't plug your way more successful podcast on your way less successful podcast.
He can. He just has to do it the other way too.
Colin, let's 1705. Edit that out. The other thing I've been doing is like I've been watching a lot of Barstool content, and it's like
darts. You're watching people play darts?
No, it's like guys being guys and doing sports, and they have like a radio show, and what they have is like. They have case races where they drink 24 beers as quickly as possible and get wasted and have a live stream for 4 hours. And I was like, this energy is very juvenile, but all these people are either my age or older. And it's something where you're like, I kind of miss doing stuff like this of like when's the last time you're like, let's just drink 10 beers each with the boys and like, we don't do that anymore. We play cards and like are wholesome. And you're like, there's some energy about that of being at the tailgate. And like, it's just funny because they're all from different things. And it's like, oh, I could be your 12th friend, guys. It's very parasocial of like, I followed like four of them, but there's like eight times where they do drink as much beer as possible and look a mess. And like, it's just, some content that I've been like, oh, this is cool. I've been realizing that all the stuff I'm watching, because I also watch the Smosh stuff, is like, these are just groups of friends that are like having fun and being friends. And I'm like, this is really cool. And it's like, I need to be 10 years younger again, where everyone hangs out again, instead of like, everyone's just chilling with their wives at home and being like home buddies. And you're like, maybe this is my life for the rest of my life of like, I need to perpetually be a 25-year-old that's in the corner drinking beers, even when I'm 45, and people are gonna go like, "What's this guy's deal?" And I'd be like, "He never got a wife."
Well, let me tell you what this does look like with age-appropriate friends doing age-appropriate or the age-appropriate version of this. Last night, so now we have Sad Boys Club, where me and three other good friends who are also having a tough time are owning our sadness and talk about it with each other and then go do activities. So last night we waffled between a million restaurants. There are only like 12 restaurants here. And we decided on this new place that does like Indian food on pizza. Shout out to Tandoori Bites. It's so funny. A, we were like, okay, we're trying not to spend a lot of money, like $20 max. And then we're like, all right, let's go to Tandoori Bites. And then like, I got my bill and I was like, tight, doubled that right away. So A, it was pretty expensive. And then pizza, pretty good. I think I would have to go again for it to be better. But we had pizza. We watched some women's March Madness, which was great for me. And then we went back to Sad Boy Manor, aka my house, and we put on Pacific Rim, which is a great movie, but because my belly was full of booze and pizza, and it was like after 9, I basically slept through that whole movie with Levi. We just slept on the couch while Mitch watched the whole thing, and then he went home, and Levi went home, and I went right to bed. So it was pretty fucking unhinged, man. It was pretty crazy. We didn't live stream it. So there you go. That's what you do. So you eat, have some beer and pizza.
Dude, I got to FaceTime in next Friday.
Yeah. We got to get you in on Sad Boys Club.
Indian food pizza is great. I invented it in my own life many years ago when I was quite stoned. And I had leftover pizza and my roommate had leftover Indian food. So we just kind of shared. And then I was like, but I'll just put the Indian food on the pizza. Then after that, when I had leftover Indian food, I'd get a boboli and cheese, put the Indian food on top of the boboli, put the cheese on top of that, and it's dope. So highly recommend to anyone who likes to fuck around in the kitchen.
Dude, it is so filling. Normally, I just eat a whole pizza, but I only had half.
A whole pizza?
Yeah, I mean, I got to get the gluten-free one, so it's like a smaller size. Like, but
5 inches across.
It's like 11.
Two okay. slices.
It's 11, dude. My pizza's 11. Average pizza size.
For anyone who ever has trouble making decisions on things, Jess and I have a great system that our friends taught us that's called 5-3-1, where you pick five things. Someone picks five things. The next person picks three of those things, and then somebody else picks the one. It's just like a real nice way of being like, you know, you don't have to like
who goes first. Because then that's the person who picks. Okay.
Yeah. So it's whoever's kind of feeling it, because usually there's someone who's got the most ideas, but then they don't want to make a decision.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of have to balance those things. Or if you have three people, it works out where, like, you know, you each do one thing. And, you know,
let's try it right now with Flesh and Blood Heroes. Here's the five I'm picking.
Okay.
Dorinthea.
What is the what are we picking them for?
We're all gonna play the same hero when we get to the UK. Five options: Dorinthea, New, Prism, Reinhardt, or Florian.
Taylor, do you want to go? Well, Taylor's going to the UK, so it has the most impact. So he can pick the one. So I'm gonna say New. Reinhardt and Prism.
Okay, these three in the middle.
Okay. Going with Reinhardt.
Let's go.
Oh, that is a good way to decide things then.
It's fun. Well, I mean, also, Blake, I was going to say, like, we're almost there. We're just friends who hang out and do things, but I guess we're not in the same room getting drunk and doing those things, so that's the main difference. But
I am not complaining about anybody in this room currently, but I am definitely realizing that I'm hitting 35 feels like the exact age of everyone is like, nope, my plan was to go home at 9:45 and hang out at home and like get to bed early, and you're like, it is Saturday. Like, I stayed out till 2 a.m. last night. That's the first time in a while I've done that, but it was fun as hell. And I was like, God, I need to do that more.
Yeah, I was up till 11 and that was fun.
You're a loser.
I also, before we get into Flesh and Blood stuff, I do have to add this onto the podcast because I promised super fan Manuel that I would do this. Okay.
Super fan.
I'm not crazy. I'm just a little Manuel right now. I know you can't tell.
Dude, Blake has got the music within him. Shout out to Thelma Houston. She has a great song that everybody should listen to about that. So I mowed the lawn the other day. It was a beautiful freaking day. And I had to fight with my lawnmower. Well, at first I had this beautiful idea. I was like, oh yeah, the battery's going to be dead. We'll charge it overnight. One of the tires was flat in 5 minutes once I started mowing. So then I had to fucking fix that classically. Then mowed the lawn. The whole lawn is not dry enough to mow the whole thing, but I did it. And then right after that, like the next day or two, I got to enjoy my fresh cut grass. It was wonderful. I posted about it in socials in the Discord for all you sick fuckers out there. And then it just has been raining nonstop since then. So all of my work I did, it's basically erased, and now I feel cheated. So lawn mowing season is not here yet, but hopefully is about to be. Also, happy spring. There we go. I did it. Lawn care update.
I feel like you've just been given a gift where you get to do it again.
Yeah, the battery is going to be dead again and the tire's flat. So we just have to.
That just means you need to ride the lawnmower more. But without mowing anything, just driving around the yard.
You need to mow. That's what charges the battery, is the blade spinning.
Well, then just go over the same spot a bunch of times.
Totally fair. Yeah.
Mow You're someone right. else's lawn.
It's a good idea.
Then charge them money for it.
Yeah, that is good. I need money. Join our Patreon. All right, let's talk about stuff that grass needs to grow, which is water from the high seas. Here we go. Pretty good segue. High seas time. We have fucking pirates out of nowhere. I'm emotionally not ready for this, but spoilers have happened.
In the most organized way, as usual.
I mean, this is the first time that's actually like, this was a leak. And that they have to be
like, not a leak is just more of like, whoopsie, I published a page that I didn't mean to, or like, you know, went live beforehand.
But it wasn't LSS making the decision. It was some random.
Well, I mean, they made the decision to give them all that information way before spoiling anything related to that. But yes, okay, you're fine. Yes, you're right.
Colin is on y'all's ass.
He's on your ass. Oh, yeah, because we're about to go, oof. I also got to say, in this vein of how they fucked up, is remember when we didn't get included in that sea shanty they did randomly for no reason for like some holiday a number of years ago?
Yeah, you missed out on that.
We missed out on that. And I feel like they really messed that up. Popped that off way too early, you know? Would be applicable right now.
Or were they planting the seed of stuff?
They definitely were not. Like, four sets came out after that.
You know what they should do is make a... oh, God, what's it called? There's a type of music that's not sea shanties.
Hardcore?
No, I can't. It was like related to vaporwave. Sea punk.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
That's like a weird, anyways. Continue.
That's it. How do we feel now? We have three pirates. Heroes.
Dude, that's too open of a question. How do we feel now?
Okay.
There's so much to unpack in everything they've announced and the implication of things they have not announced and the confusion left everywhere within.
I'm upset. This is how I feel. I'm upset. I'm just gonna blank.
What upsets you the most? That's, you know, let's start there.
Okay. What upsets me the most is the fact it's a two prong, not three like a trident, but it's two prong, like a
pitchfork,
which has four, I think.
Half it's a like pitchfork. It's like a oyster fork, you know. It's got two little prongs.
Yep, which is also on theme because oysters are nautical.
That's right. Sailboats.
That the I am on team Gravy Bones is a stupid name and makes me a little upset.
What is Gravy Bones?
Gravy Bones is a pirate necromancer hero. Mm. B, that Puffin Hightail is a person, not the parrot, and they are a pirate mechanologist hero. But this is the part that really bothers me, is that they fucking named them Puffin, which is a different fucking type of bird in the Arctic. And then the bird is not the hero. All things, Colin said this, would be forgiven if the bird was the hero. If they fucking just named it Polly. Polly Hightail. With their freaking silk golden wing or whatever they got, would be fucking awesome. But it really pisses me off for some stupid reason that they've named this person hero after a different type of bird, but include a real normal bird in the artwork as a prominent aspect of their character. It's like naming your dog cat or something like that, you know? Like, not funny.
No, it's like if you have a Rottweiler and then you decide that your name is Golden Doodle and you're like, my name's Golden Doodle. Yeah, this totally. Is my Rottweiler.
Yeah, who goes with me everywhere and is like a huge part of my personality. Yeah.
And looks exactly. more like a pirate than I do because he's wearing a literal pirate hat.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Okay. Anyway, I need to relax. You guys talk.
Here's a follow-up question. Do we still like this game? Blake, what upsets you the most?
I can say some stuff real quick. My favorite sentence that has been said was one of the discords where it was like all this stuff was getting released and it was, is this a leak or not? And it was very funny because all the white guys in my Discord were like, this shit looks amazing. And all the Asian dudes had loved The Hunted. So there was an Asian dude where it was like, it is literally so hilarious that the white guys are so pumped for this when the Asian people were so pumped for The Hunted. And it was like, oh, is this literally in my wheelhouse so much? I have been excited for Necromancer. It is one of those things of, do I have to tell everybody for the next 6 months, I'm going to be a gravy bones main? I hate that layer of this. That's a layer where like, when have I been embarrassed?
Everyone else says that, and then you're like, I'm definitely not doing this.
Yeah. Like, when have I ever been embarrassed to say something about this game? And like, I think the most embarrassing thing is the name Flesh and Blood. And I say that every single time of like, the game is really good except for the name. And now this has gone another layer of this of Davy Jones, Gravy Bones, get it? And it's like, I do get it, but in every other room in the whole entire world, they do talk about it longer than 12 seconds. And it doesn't feel like they talk about it longer than 12 seconds, or they do spend a day coming up with Gravy Bones' name, and then they go with Gravy Bones anyway, is like, I think if we're trying to appeal to a broader audience, sticking with our crazy sense of humor of like, Bravo doesn't seem as crazy as Gravy Bones. Reinar, because Rhino doesn't sound as crazy. And we could go to every single one of these. Katsu Fried Chicken, maybe that was the other one where you're like, Blake, you haven't been aware of how awkward this has been the whole time for some people to say, I'm Katsu, a chicken dish from our culture or whatever this whole... Oh, okay, maybe gravy being another dish for white people is like, we've been doing this for years, bro. But it looks fun. And it looks like
gravy, a match made in heaven, you know?
Yeah, it looks like it's illusionist, but blue and yellow. And it's going to be... It looks like it's half Dromai and half Prism right now from the four cards that have been released.
Necromancer does?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
I'm excited to play Necromancer. The other two, I don't really care about. So it's all about Gravy Bones for me of like, if this is going to be a set I want to open.
You just got
to
lean into it, you know, just like Gravy Bones. Like,
all aboard the gravy train. I'm going to go again on this thing. And like, if there's not like mashed potato bucklers or something, like, what are we doing? Or peas and carrots are the monkey and the parrot that I have on my shoulders. Like,
yeah,
if it's a full sure. fucking meal, then I'll be like, oh, okay, here we go.
That's that would save it. You're right. That would be smart. Two things I have to say about that. One, or I don't know, I should have written this down on a note. One, a friend of the show, Levi, also fellow napper, nap enthusiast. He was saying that, you know, it's fine that every set's not for everybody. Like, the game should have that, you know? And I'm fully on board with that. Like, I believe in that. I'm like, yep, this set is not for me. I'm gonna try to not be overly negative about it, you know? And the only thing I'm really upset about are these stupid names that they have enacted when releasing like new heroes. So I've fully
bad. We haven't mentioned Marlin.
I mean,
Treasure new, Hunter, which was
new like, Enigma and Zin were bad. Like yeah. the
we
the,
did a whole we did a whole tier list, and Riptide Lurker of the Deep is our GOAT S tier name, and the reason why Riptide is so good is because A, his name fits his vibe. B, his name also fits his play style. And it fits the artwork, right? Like, that's like the criteria of why that's so good. Gravy Bones seems like that they had a bunch of names on a whiteboard, moved on to some other project, and then James was like, hey, by the way, this is about to go to print. We need a name. And they panicked and just went with, I don't know, Gravy Bones is funny, right? And they're like, yeah, sure, do it. And then they gave them the art, and then they were like, oh, man, that doesn't fit. Oh, well, at least it's funny, right? And then they high-fived each other and went on their lunch break, you know?
Snorted two more lines of cocaine and then just kept working on the next set. Look, so that's how I don't disagree. Yeah. I think Gravy Bones is an atrocity. It's an offense to mankind and human existence.
Human existence is pretty good.
I think it's just, there's so many layers of why it's like trying to be clever, but it's also just not. It's like, okay, it's legally distinct Davy Jones, as the same as I am legally distinct Captain Snack Barrel. Not to be confused with any copyrighted things.
The allies that we've seen so far are greatly named. Of my first mate is named Chum because he's not only my best friend Chum, but he's Chum for the waters of, like, you got to attack him. And then there's Rigor Mortis, who's dead, and he's a rigor on the ship.
Look, those all make sense.
If like what has happened to Arachne, Marionette, and Marie Antoinette does not catch on, and then everybody calls it Mario, which I hate. If they don't call Rigor Mortis Morty for short, I'm a riot. I will not stand for that.
I feel like you can't. Never mind. I think there's a lot. It was, he works with the graveyard because he's a necromancer. It's just like, but it's gravy, like the thick sauce you put on other food.
Can't spell graveyard without gravy.
I mean, it's true.
That would have been a better title. Captain Gravy. Can't spell graveyard without gravy. Put that on the card.
It's just like, it doesn't, you don't have to say what he does in its name. Like, it really doesn't matter that much. Like, it's not like, oh, I understand intuitively what his power is and I don't need to read his card because his name's Gravy. And so he must do something with graveyard. You still have to understand how to fucking play it. So it's just like, it's very silly for such a badass looking skeleton pirate man to be called Gravy. And I guess pirates do kind of have silly names, but like, for the most part, the ones you remember are cool. Captain Blackbeard, like, you know, just kind of sounds cool. Dread Pirate Roberts. Dread Pirate, you know, they could have just called him Dead Pirate, like, you know, but then you see his living version and you're like, why is he Gravy Bones now? Like,
honestly, I know it. I think it's about five times cooler if the person who's calling up bones isn't a bone person themselves. Like,
yeah,
like if you have full flesh or like half
bone
and half,
people are back in it again.
Calling bone people up from the water is cooler when you are this. I'm just a regular dude instead of I'm leader of the bone people.
Yeah.
I don't know why
I chose this name before I became a necromancer. Or I guess maybe he was already a necromancer. It's confusing. But then who necromanced him into being alive?
Necromancer is so close to, it literally says romancer. So like,
neck romancer.
So can't spell romance without
necromancer. Which just you're
slutty
basically
Bob the necromancer. That would have been good.
That would have been great.
Anyways, okay. So names aside, we have pirate, which at first everyone's like, pirate is a talent, but pirate's a class. So it makes sense that we didn't get a true pirate class, since They also introduced it a necromancer. But I'm curious what you guys think. We like, is having pirate ranger and pirate mechanologist, you know, dual classes really just a limited thing to make that side of things work? Or, you know, does this feel like a good extension of these classes that have existed already?
I have no clue, you know. I don't know why it's a class, just other than for people to go, pirate's a class. Isn't that cool? It's like, sure. Where's the pirate only hero? We don't have an illusionist only hero. You know what I mean? Like, this is just going to be one of those things where, you know, like we have contracts. Do we? We had contracts. You did that, you know. We don't have just a normal illusionist, and we'll probably never just have a pirate hero. They had their chance when they were like, here's the armory deck. Guess what? It's gravy bones, you know? And you're like, that was your moment there to just do a fourth hero that is only a pirate and has more pirate cards for your entire set of Flesh and Blood that's coming out, High Seas, that then maybe all of these heroes could benefit from. And that would be a stellar product. So in terms of like, is it, I don't care. Who cares? That's how I feel. It's like never going to happen that we're going to have a pirate hero, because they're just going to design something else way later and never give brutes cards, you know, et cetera.
Well, okay, to keep that door closed. We don't need to open that.
You're right. You're right. Strike that from your brain.
I just had a quick question before Blake responds. We haven't seen a pirate only card, right?
Not yet.
Okay. Because I'm also just curious, like, what is pirate class do? Because right now it doesn't, I guess it has a new symbol.
Very gold heavy.
I guess, yeah, that makes sense. And do we also know what the symbol on these cards is? The little.
We do not, but we should get into that. We'll get into that.
We have a very strong guess as a community.
Blake, what are your thoughts on hybrid only classes in this set and no pirate class?
So I think getting this thought process.
Might as well be a talent. Sorry. Okay. Go.
Functionally the same at this point, but that's where we're at.
Okay, so my thought process is I don't play Mechanologist or Ranger that much, and this is a Necromancer set. So all of this is just not in my bag of like knowing exactly how all this would work or postulate. But I do feel like Pirate, whenever it says all this, each one of these three people say, we're going to destroy a gold you control to do something. So I'm assuming pirate cards, whether they're dual class with their other classes they have or single pirate only cards, are going to be creating gold, use gold, do this with gold. Because I think the one thing that we've always joked about, because why do they have bright lights, is how could Mechanologist be in a set with other cards? They need to have go again with boosting. And I think most of this stuff with the pirate Mechanologist is going to be like, use your gold to make the cog token so you can crank to give all your attacks go again, whether they have boost or not. And then there will be power-ups and stuff with that, not only in the limited format, but like there's probably some busted-ass stuff you can do with all the current crank cards that whenever we see the hero powers mixed with the weapons and the like, I'm sure there's going to be like a pirate chest. Maybe not, because of Trench. Like, what legendary for pirate can help make gold and do all this? And then you don't even know about the macro yet. I heard some thought process about the macro is always going to be in play in limited, of like when you do damage to your opponent, you're going to get how many gold tokens that are on there for the damage you do. And I think that'll turn, instead of it being like a race away, it'll be like you're going to be blocking like crazy so you don't give your opponent a bunch of gold. I think Ranger Pirate looks like it's going to be way bigger arrows than normally. We're going to see some 2-cost 6 damage arrows instead of 0-cost for 4 or 1-for-5s. And it's going to be like a big game hunter type thing of big arrows, big buffs. You may not need them to, if there's a way to give them dominate, great. Because, like, if you're looking, no, that buff is not, that's a pirate ranger buff. So Azalea can't even use that. But just looking at that, it's like, if you use a cannon, you get to do whatever you want for the shark harpoon one. And I think that seems super cool of, like, what's the difference between an arrow, a harpoon, and a cannon, and balancing all of that for maximum damage. I think that does, I was joking around with Zane of, like, what are you going to do? Have your arrows come four at a time, like your Lexi again, or are you going to do one tall arrow? This feels like it's a little bit of a mix of, I don't want to say mid-range, but, like, if I shoot you with a cannon and it has go again and now gives my harpoon extra damage afterwards, this is like a 1-2 punch ranger instead of a tall one, or just go wide because you have a bunch of add damage to all your arrows terms. The necromancer is the coolest, though, because I do like the idea of, there's cards in my hand, but for the first time ever, those allies don't have blocks in the bottom right. They're not dragons where you flip them and they have health. Or I think they would have shown us that there's a flip. So the first time through your deck is going to be very dangerous as Gravy Bones, because if you draw four allies right away, you may be kind of screwed. But all the allies look like they're going to be yellow. All of your power cards look like they're going to be blue. There's already something where if you put a blue in your graveyard, that's tied to his hero power. So I'm assuming that's going to be a blue and yellow deck, which actually seems pretty cool. We haven't had that type of stuff yet. But as we all know, reds are the most powerful cards. So it will be kind of a balance of, like, can Gravy Bones still play those super powerful reds? Like, it's going to be a premium. You can't just jam a whole bunch of reds in that deck because it's not going to turn on all his other stuff. So yeah. That design seems super cool. I think I will trust this game because I have played this stuff so long. Like, if they think this is the best set that they've done, and it's not a hype thing, and it, like, I know they'd said that for Mistfell. Mistfell was super powerful. That's the last time they said it. I'm assuming this shit's going to be super powerful. And sometimes they nail balance and sometimes they don't. I think even seeing the thought process of what Chum can do of, like, hey, before you end up resolving your stuff, I'm going to use this wave symbol and make you attack Chum for the rest of the turn. And it's like, okay, well, Azalea was doing her third buff on her arrow, and now the arrow for 12 has to hit Chum. Like, Azalea is just going to be absolutely owned by some of this stuff. The people that can't really get to 6 damage on a regular turn after they block are going to be screwed by Chum. And I think that gives them a little bit of room of, if I don't have block cards in my hands because I drew a bunch of allies, these are the turns I need to activate Chum.
Yeah.
So now I think, what is that wave symbol? Do you have an idea, Taylor, of what everyone's saying it? Or, okay, perfect. You go on that.
Well, yeah, I think all the stuff you pointed out is important. There are so many having been through so many spoiler seasons, I feel like I'm just old and jaded, and maybe it's because I'm not that excited for this set. I mean, but there's, like, a number of things, right? Like, cards, talk about cannons, Treasure Island, right, which is a macro, talks about allies. So if this is for everybody, then Mechanologist is also going to have allies, right? Or Ranger is going to also have allies.
Like, you know? Or an ally, so it doesn't necessarily imply that.
Oh, right. Whenever you or an ally. Okay, never mind. Sorry, I got excited. You're right, read the cards.
This Golden Sky Warden thing, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a small Sky Warden is how Puffin gets more damage. And then I wouldn't be surprised if the cannon that they're referencing in that thing acts as, like, an ally for Ranger.
Yeah.
And it's like if I put all my cannons out, they can do more damage to you and activate other stuff on my, do you want to attack me, Marlin, or do you want to attack one of my cannons? I think is a, like, if they're technically auras that give buffs to my thing, it's like, I don't want to play against a full pirate ship with five cannons. If I could, like, we done boss fights in every video game we've ever played against pirates. It's like, attack their cannons first and they're so much easier.
Yeah. But the water symbol, if you zoom in on it, which I did, is an arrow, actually. It looks like a wave at this distance, but if you zoom in on it, it's a black arrow. So it's like, I'm assuming it, I thought it was going to be at first maybe another resource, right? Like chi or something like that, or dark water. But I think it's just a like, turn this card right, you know, exhaust it, tap it, whatever you want to do with it. But then once it's rotated 90 degrees, exhausted, right? You know, what are the rules going to be about that? Does it get to go like 360 degrees? It can keep doing that. Or once you turn it to a horizontal position, it no longer like gets its ability, et cetera. You would assume, right? Like a lot of things in card games, when you exhaust it, it's exhausted, and then you need to like ready it. So that's maybe like the cost that's going on there, right? Is so then like with Chum, you can either exhaust to attack for four or exhaust to discard a card with Watery Grave, right?
Right.
So like that's a bit of the trade-off there with some of those things is my guess, right? Just based on like what that symbol actually looks like, a little arrow rather than like a wave, which I thought it was going to be like a whole other resource system. So that's what I got going on. I don't know if there will be rules about like all exhausted things ready at the end of your turn, or you have to have like a captain's whistle, bosun's whip, and get everybody ready or something like that.
Like, what have you heard it might be?
I heard that it's on all three of them. So I think all three of these will have an ally of some sort. And it'll be your ally can't do what it was going to do this turn. Just turn it sideways and quote unquote tap, like we're all used to from that other card game, of if you tap an ally, you can do these other powerful things because you're trading the ability from that ally to do this. And that way it wouldn't be like live right from turn zero. And that's what they've been doing to balance their hero powers over the last couple sets, is like, you don't have a chi already flipped over. You have to draw chi for the Misfeld people, the heroes in Florian and what's her face, Verdance, have to get eight into the graveyard. So they've been balancing strong hero powers with, you don't have this ability until you get some allies on your board. And then you can, like, pirates are only as strong as their allies, as I bet some kind of copy that's going to come down the pipeline and we'll be like, okay, that makes sense. And maybe there's some easy, that maybe there's some like, this ally for Mechanologist doesn't do any damage. It's just always on to turn on the hero power. And you're like, is it worth me attacking something that's not doing damage to me to limit Puffin's power? Because Puffin has on their hero power, draw a card the second time you crank. And like, hero powers with draw a card on them, I don't think that has existed. Like, Death Dealer alone seems like a huge pain in the ass. And like, Death Dealer with Marlin, the way her hero power looks like it's going to be super strong. So I don't know what kind of weapon they would have with her, where it's like, how do they design cards for Marlin where it's not just smarter to play all of Azalea's cards quicker and faster? It is a mindset that's in my head currently too. But like, they're balanced. They know how to balance stuff and like do this, but I don't know if we've ever had, I guess we have had talented stuff come after, but it was like Lexi took all this stuff and then just made it her own instead of playing. Lexi didn't play her ice arrows or her lightning arrows. So how are they going to make sure Marlin plays her pirate arrows instead of just doing Azalea stuff?
Yeah.
So when they were talking about this being like their favorite set, are they speaking from a limited point of view or from a seat? Do we know if they specified?
The thing I remember very vividly was, we're about to mention the eight Arachnes from Junted X, and they were like, I wish we could go right to June. because set 16 is our favorite we've ever done. Here's set 15. I was just so like not mortified. I could probably give these people a little more grace, but I'm just like, why are you saying that in front of like is that a hype thing? I feel like it's almost like a, and then they do the whole thought process of, we didn't think you guys would like Junted X at all. And it's like, don't say that out loud either. Like,
yeah, it's like clearly one of the coolest sets you've ever designed. It's insane, you know?
And like,
gotcha. I mean, okay. So I didn't see the arrow, and I'm very sad that this might just be a tap mechanic that seems less interesting. I see things like, oh, on the compass, it's like instant, do this. And it's like, why isn't it just once per turn you can do this? Like, why introduce, it just seems like an arbitrary thing to introduce, or at least use everywhere that they have used it. I think on the ally, that's interesting that it's like, okay, well, if you attack with Chum, you can't do the instant then, you know, on your opponent's right. turn, maybe. Like, I think that is kind of interesting. It just, I thought it was more to do with like how the graveyard and watery grave stuff works, and like, you know, everyone's going to be kind of like digging up stuff, but you know, that doesn't kind of work in the other classes. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. That makes sense that that's what it is, because it does look like a wave, but also it is clearly kind of half an arrow. So
I would say, I wonder also, this is just pretty quick here, is if now this exhaust arrow, tap arrow, this arrow is shorthand for once per turn, that is no longer going to be printed on a card, and that it is just replaced with this arrow, because they're also replacing token rarity with basic rarity. So maybe
I guess people do tap their cards when it is like a once per turn. Thing.
Yeah. So who knows?
Pretty weird time to throw a wavy looking symbol for that right. into the mix. But okay. I mean, yeah.
One other thing that I don't really think people have remembered, and I don't know if I'm misremembering this, but they did kind of tease, you've heard of red pitch, you've heard of yellow pitch, you've heard of blue pitch. This may be a fourth one. So in my mind, the allies that we've seen, at least Chum is four cost, where it's like, how do you pitch for Chum and then still have a turn? Like, you got to keep Chum in your hand that doesn't block, and then two cards to pitch him. And Rigor Mortis only costs one. So this is just a Chum thought process. Is there a pitch four coming, or is it a blue that also does your hero power? And like maybe something like that, of like these specific cards, it's basically Chi all over again. I just remember there being, and then there's a pitch next time that's going to be bigger than ever. And I'm like, well, the biggest pitch we've had is three. So up next would be four.
I do not remember that, but it doesn't mean you're not wrong.
Okay. I had one more question for the people catching up like me. Watery grave, you put mm-hmm. it, if it gets put face down in your graveyard, I assume that means you cannot recall it up with the power. That's right.
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense. Just wanted to clarify. You got to ask this stupid question sometimes.
No, those are not stupid. This is all new.
Here's a stupid question for you, Colin. Yeah, do you have your call to the graves yet from a set ago, two sets ago?
Not at all.
Now they're $50. So you might want to do that now if you plan on playing Gravy Bones at all. I like the design based off four cards of Necromancer so much already, of like draw a card and discard a card is his destroy a gold power. So you can put a blue card in your graveyard that way. Compass of Sunken Death, look at the top card of your deck so you know what card you're going to draw. The first card you play from Watery Grave gets go again every turn. Like, that's amazing. But Chart the High Seas, it has to be the coolest card I've seen so far. It's a zero blue, so it's going to be put into your graveyard, turning on your hero power. Look at the top two cards of your deck. You may pitch a blue from among them, put the rest in your graveyard. If they're blues, it turns on your stuff. If it's yellows, make gold. And I'm just like, oh, this is going to be like, how are you going to like not mill yourself? But like, there's going to be some strong ass stuff to do, because like the attacks we do have for them so far, board the ship and paddle faster. It's like, yeah. Here's our first 0/4 that blocks 3 that has reliable go again if you tap an ally.
I think, I mean, I feel like you kind of answered your question about how you play Chum. It's like, it's going to be from watery gray, you know, it's like you're going to play these cards from the graveyard more than right. from your hand. So, which I think that is cool. And I like the kind of manipulation of the graveyard and like the combination of like, you know, a non-attack action,
podcast.
Wait, is that, it's a non-attack? No, it's just an action.
It's a non-attack action.
It's called a non-attack. I didn't make like,
yeah. Or they're just action cards.
I smell toast.
You smell toast.
You know, that, you know, technically goes to your graveyard, you know, like, even though we tend to like leave it out, like it goes to graveyard, turns on the ability. Definitely does seem cool. Sure, I would love to play Gravy Jones Bones, but will that happen? Who knows? I don't have a read on that. I have another question.
Oh,
for the panel, do we know how Treasure Island gets put into the thing? Like,
so it's a macro. That's just like the Sanctuary of Aria. It just starts in play.
But you have to put it in your deck?
No. The one for Sanctuary is just on the board for both players in Limited specifically. And it's just like an extra thing everybody gets. It's like...
Can it be used in CC, I guess, is my question. No.
No. Yes. Sanctuary cannot.
Which I also saw one or two other... thoughts on this, which I was like, wait, what? And I don't know if this is speculation or I read something or if I'm falling into a hole or somebody just lied, but they were like, every CC game played for the high seas will have this, and like even other classes we're going to be playing Treasure Island rules for all of CC. And I was like, that's an interesting like way to kind of change the game. And maybe a hero like Olympia, by the way, what gold is the payoff? When Olympia gets to Treasure Island, he's going to be unstoppable because he'll have access to gold all the time. And Betsy will have access to gold all the time. And like, this is the layup for them to slam dunk home, is you're just going to have access to gold like crazy. And here's one more card from the slot to put it all together for them. And that would be like, oh, I've been asking for that. That sounds amazing.
I mean, it does say high seas macro, so I feel like that is a limited only thing. But we'll have to see. They'll have to tell us if that's true.
We'll have to high sea. Let's go. Okay.
What are your guys' thoughts about this? It's pretty good, Blake. Well done. You're on fire tonight. Today? This afternoon. They did announce also that things will be changing, because you can see it in the spoilers. Instead of a T, they have a B. So now we will have cards with the basic rarity and cards with token rarity. I'm unsure why we're having all of this rebranding on stuff. We have the World Tour, which confused me today watching the stream. And then now we have basic rarity instead of token rarity, but we're still going to have a warrior attack reaction called overpower, but overpower is still a bolded keyword. And we're still going to have legendary cards and legendary rarity cards. That's what's driving me nuts, is like, why is this the hill you've decided to change when we have all of these other things that are weird, you know? We have a professional tour invite and we have a professional tournament invite or whatever, you know, like what are we doing and why are we choosing the things we are choosing to make cleaner?
I mean, I think even more baffling is all the other changes that they seem to be making with like the packs and this treasure pack, and the way they're communicating all of this is also really confusing, because as someone pointed out, I think it seems like legendary, like rarity cards are now in a slot that is limited accessible. It seemed like what I saw.
Yeah, I did not delve into this, so you're going to have to catch me up on this.
So here, let me get the product sheet. I have it open. And then they, okay, so we have rarity distribution. Where did I see this?
The thing that blows my mind, just while you're looking it up, is the gold pack in every box is now where your cold foil is going to be. And so, hey, have you been opening boxes your whole life? You're pretty excited, because now when you open up 8 boxes, you will have 8 cold foils guaranteed, because sometimes there was a time where you had 7 cold foils and you maybe felt a little bad. But now, every single time where you were at an armory and opened up a cold foil, that will no longer ever happen again. And that feels a little bad, because when we're busting open a box to give out for prize participation or busting up a box for draft, what's going to happen to that gold pack? And if there's not a designated rule, of course, somebody's going to feel bad about, at this store, they raffle it off. At this store, they give it to the owner and he opens them up and we sell them. I don't know if that's even allowed. We don't know any about this stuff yet. But in those packs, there's also a huge gamble chance for, there's 17 cards, I think, that there's only going to be one of ones of, I have the lost sunken treasure of the high seas, the tunic that's underwater or something. They're doing like 17 cards where it's going to be some cool art treatment. And it's like, okay, that's another thing I'm never going to have, but that sounds super cool. But who's going to collect them all? Some whale right now is like, God damn it, that's another $400,000 I'm going to spend on Fab to be the number one collector.
Okay, so I think I may have been basing my information off someone's response, and maybe they changed it on the webpage. But I don't think it is saying what I thought before. So never mind that. Back to treasure packs. I was going to say, Marvels are still in the regular pack. So you still can get a cold foil, but only as a Marvel. Or I guess the legendary. All these things are confusing. Like, are the legendary cards that you can get in a regular pack still potentially cold foil? I would hope so. I both like the idea that you get a gold pack. You're like, okay, my big hit might be in this pack, because we've all opened boxes that have no cold foils in them before at some point. So like, it's nice to try to guarantee that in some fashion, but you're also still not, because it's, you know, it's, what is it? A treasure slot that is a cold foil or a lost treasure, which, like, what the fuck is a lost treasure, and do we even care, and is it better than a cold foil?
Lost treasure is the one of one that only you in the entire world will have.
Like, the one
is ring. That literally what it is?
Yeah.
So it's okay, like, so what they're saying is the treasure slot is a cold foil.
Yes.
Because, or it's, no one's gold foil.
Who knows?
No one's going to open the lost treasure.
Somebody's going to.
Statistically speaking, no one.
Haley, you know, neighbors, like, will open 3.
Yeah, fucking A. Haley will, because she's got the touch.
She's got hot fingers.
That's okay. That's all very thematic. Is that just for this set? We just switching it up for this
one? I would
one?
Assume so. It's like a thematic thing they thought would be cool. You know, which I do think is cool. I, you know, this is a miss set for me. So I'm like, whatever. And I don't really buy boxes because of financial reasons. So
it's a waste of fucking money.
So I don't know.
I think
thing I will say though, I feel like I need to say something positive. Artwork clearly banger. New borders on Pirate Necromancer on all of them is so good. Like this, all this art is really, really good. And you know, even though it's like not my thing, I can still really appreciate it, you know, it, from those aspects. I'm excited for the art draft in June.
I think another thing about the tap symbol, if you look at the attacks and block for Necromancer, it says when this attack, you may tap an ally you control. And we're using tap as that symbol. So maybe I should say when this attacks, you may symbol an ally you control. So maybe on the heroes, they can quote unquote tap themselves, but then it's like, it's just once per turn. And like, why have that symbol? But it does seem like they're trying to make everything more accessible for new players, which is just confusing the hell out of the people that are used to their system from the last 5 years.
Or we're completely wrong and it's not shorthand for once per turn.
I also don't like that, to go back to being negative, that they say the treasure pack configuration is a 90 card set. Like, it's like its own set of cards. And I don't know. It's just
17
like,
of them you'll never see.
There's three cards in every box.
Three like, treasure cards?
There's three cards per pack in the treasure pack. Then one pack
per box?
Per display.
Okay.
So there's 90 cards. And there's 11 Marvel's 4 legendaries. Like, these cards are going to be so hard to find, it feels like, and like so expensive. It's just like, I don't know. Sure, that's very thematic, but it also feels like it sucks for everyone involved and is more of a gimmick to get people to buy boxes, which, you know, this is late stage capitalism. This is all they actually care about. Because if they didn't make money doing this, they wouldn't make this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is the difference between Pirate Booty and Lost Treasures?
It's the worst version. Because there's more, the most of those.
Oh, you also, right? You also get a pack of treasure pack.
52 Pirate Booties. So that must be the worst thing you can get in that pack.
And then I wonder how they're going to make gym packs, or they're just going to give us treasure packs for gym packs. I don't know. We should
there's 17 unique lost treasures.
Yeah,
wait, there's 43 different lost treasures. There's 17 unique lost treasure appears one in 1,000 treasure packs. That's the most confusing three bullet statements I've ever seen. So there's 43, but 17 of them are, there's only one of them?
Yes.
And then at one out of 1,000 treasure packs, which means one out of 1,000 boxes.
Yes.
With
fucking, so if you're following this logic, that means there's only 17,000 boxes of High Seas being printed. Which is, that doesn't make sense, right?
So I'll probably get this armory deck. You know, I think that's a great way to get into Gravy Bones and, you know, just open up one thing. I know it's going to come in it and I can play the deck and have a decent time and not spend too much money. So I feel like I'm happy about that. They're not going to release it 6 months later after the set.
Totally.
It actually comes out before the set comes out.
Super
good.
Oh,
that's great too.
Love that.
I'm into it. I'll put it up on the shelf next to Jarl and that'll be fun. So, I mean, sure, we've made a lot of, like, you know, we really
you enjoy love lots flesh of things. And
there's, dude, it's totally fine. And this is our first opinion. It'll change. It's going to get better. Maybe we're going to get psyched. I am just not in a place, like, I'm about to go to, this is a good segue here, to London for...
Well, I had three more things to say. So
Pro Tour. Classic. What are you, Isaac, right now? What is this? I just feel like I'm so more still so invested in The Hunted, especially because we have like a big Hunted meta coming up here, big tournament, that it's just like I can't pay attention to what's going to happen in the high seas at all, you know? So once that cools down, I'll probably warm up to these frigid waters. But that being said, I'm very excited to go to London. I got my ticket. I don't know where I'm staying. I don't know what is in London, et cetera. So if you are someone listening to this podcast and have any tips for staying in London, I'll be there. I'm like there from Wednesday to Thursday. So I'm there for quite a while. I get like a number
of two days. What are you talking about?
Yeah. From Wednesday to the next Thursday.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Is when I fly out.
Then you have a chance to make the tournament.
Yeah.
I've got stuff for you to do.
Great. What I really need is somebody who has a gluten allergy and knows how to eat in their country with a gluten allergy. So I need to learn how to do that. That's one of my biggest fears.
Other than Indian food. Just go get some really good Indian food.
There you go. Other than eating beans. Or like
beans.
Vomiting on the 10-hour flight I have, those are my two concerns.
Did you pick an aisle seat?
No. Well, I got my ticket late, so I'm in a middle seat near the window, right? Window side, middle seat. And then on the way back, I got an aisle seat in the middle section.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They have in-flight vomit bags, but, you know, I'll take some Dramamine. Wait,
okay, so what is your thing with planes again for all the people that are brand new to the pod like me?
Oh, I just get sick when the plane takes off and when the plane lands, and sometimes during turbulence. Makes me feel like I'm a vomit. That's what.
What I would do is eat a bunch of Doritos right before, so you do have something in your stomach to throw up. That helped me on my whale watching tour.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah.
Okay, that's the perfect plan. There's lots of good stuff to do in London. I'll send you a list. I think I had other things to talk about high seas, but we're here now. So yeah, Pro Tour London, what are you bringing?
Oh, I'm going to play Arachne Marionette for sure. Mm. You know,
that's what I thought. I was just double checking. Have you been practicing? You're just going to go in and just go and not really care because we're going because we got in and it's fun, or like what's your like kind of mental approach right now?
Yeah. I mean, before I was like, oh, I'm going to plan this. I will be married and feel very secure and safe and stuff. And so it'd be easy to like go do this and put in the time for that. And then that isn't what's happening, part of that. So I've been playing Arachne Marionette, but not putting in the dedicated time to practice and stuff. So I'm going to kind of cram for the exam here. And I feel like I'm pretty priced into Marionette, which is kind of nice. Like, I don't have to figure out what deck I want to play, but it's like I got the tattoo, we got the spoiler. I maybe have to send, I probably should send the Cold Foil Clave to y'all so you can sign it and then y'all can send it back. So I have that to show off of the Pro Tour. But so I'm playing that and I think it'll do fine. My goal is to just have as much fun as possible. And in the tournament, what would be really fun for me is for me to have enough practice to where I feel like I am not out of my league, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like if I sit down across from Michael Fung, I'm not like, I'm like now playing this and this game is over in four turns and I had no idea what I was doing. You know, that's like not the experience I would like to have. I don't care if I day two or not. I just want to have a feeling like I know what I'm doing. Not that I feel anxious from not knowing. So that's what I'm going to practice to be able to do. And then if I have to go do the calling, or maybe I'll play side events, I don't know. But I am excited to just get to play a lot of Flesh and Blood. So that's kind of my goal. I want to have like a binder full of shit I need to get signed, because we got shit to get signed there, you know? And yeah, I'm excited to go on a vacation. I've never been to Europe. This would be my first time to Europe and stuff.
That's sick.
Yeah. So it's gonna be good. I'm pretty pumped. Also, if you live in the Bay Area, I'm flying out of San Francisco. Can I stay with you and leave my car at your house? And will you drive me to the airport? This is just a big plug for all of the things I'm doing in my life, this whole podcast. But you know, gotta shoot your shots. So, but whatever. The meta is gonna be whatever it is. I'm just gonna bring Arachne, and we're just gonna fucking go for it. And it's going to be fun as hell, dude. It's going to be so cool.
Yo. Yeah, London's fun. I've been a couple times. It's a big, big, big city, but they've got great public transportation. You can just tap in. If you've got your credit card on your phone, you just tap in with that, and it just bills you at the end of the day, and it handles all your transfers and stuff, even across different modes of transportation. So it's very convenient to get around. Also, everything's in English, so that makes it easier.
Totally. I'm excited about that part.
They do like kebab. There's lots of kebab places. And there's really good Indian food. So
great. I love Indian food, so I'll be getting down on some of that.
Hell yeah. Some good art museums too, you know.
Yeah, I'm excited to do an art museum. I'm excited to go to like a pub, you know. I'm looking for good pubs, local pubs. I don't want to go to like fucking, when I travel, I hate being like doing touristy stuff, you know what I mean? Like I don't need to go see like Big Ben or anything like that. Art museum would be good. But like, I just want to know like, what's everybody who lives here doing, you know? Let's go do that. What's your favorite shit those people are doing? Because that's going to be the good shit.
Totally. That's always fun. What part of town is it in?
Not even sure. Don't even know.
Let's look and find out. Excel London. Let's see where that's at. All right. You're by the Thames. That's cool. It is pretty far out of like the main part of London.
Most convention centers are, though, you know.
Yeah, that's true. But like I said, easy to get around. But yeah, there's a lot of cool neighborhoods. Honestly, even just walking down the Thames is fun. But it'll be a good time. And I think, you know, going there for a good time is the perfect approach. Zane sounds like it's going to be trying hard. He can no longer make our Monday recording sessions due to
playtesting. Is that real?
Practicing, I believe. So he's on like a real team.
Yeah.
With people who play this game.
His face is on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Is he going to win one of these days?
I mean,
we hope so.
Are you?
Oh, no, I'm not on a team.
Oh, do you want to be?
Well, that looks like that ship sailed 3 years ago at this point. It would have happened by now if anybody wanted to be on their team.
You can always ask, you know.
I'm just the comic relief in this community, not anybody who knows what they're doing.
I mean, you could be both.
You could be both. Like you said, you know, everybody's complicated.
People are complex.
Right. Well,
I'm the number one Gravy Bones player in the world currently.
Yeah, so get ready.
Get ready.
Anything else? We had some other stuff we had written down, but I don't know.
It's interesting watching a couple callings from around the country, around the world, and we can definitely see that there is not a Brody Spurlock there because he is still in his suspension. And that is I know he would be there and in the top eight. So it's not a it's not even worth mentioning.
I wouldn't say it's a win for everyone, but you know,
it is like, oh, it's a little bit different. What's different about this now? And like, we got some new commentators that people are trying out. We got some new stuff that's going on. It's like, okay, there's a little bit different energy.
I mean, I do think it's very interesting that Florian won, you know, and I was watching some Sao Paulo today. Like, Victor seems like it has a really strong matchup into Aurora. So it's like,
you're getting slower.
Yeah, maybe, or things are settled enough to where now we can have things that target what is really good. You know what I mean? So, I always like it when the meta does that, because there's some, you know, things are getting innovative in that way, you know?
I mean, I'm excited to play Florian. That's what I've been doing recently. But then I saw some other decks that look cool too. I'm in that eternal, like, let me try this. For the first time ever though, I am in a mindset where it's like, there's boxes in my bag that are worth more money than I have to sell these decks. I can't be the person who has 10 decks on me at all times. If I'm like, why is my, it's like, you pick two, sell the rest, and like, maybe I'll just play Reinar and hope for the best for the next, till Gravy Bones comes, and then do this process all over again.
They've got their hooks in you, man.
There's just too many fishing puns now. That's the way to go, dude. I play one class basically, and that's it.
It's got to be a class that's good.
That's how you guys wrapped up the last episode. And I'm glad that Blake had listened, because it seems like he's moving in that direction.
I kind of skipped both of the armories since the last time. So
that's my fair. Breaks
my other thing is I've been going to trivia and play with friends and shaking ass at clubs.
Hell yeah, girl. Get it.
You gotta diversify your experiences, you know?
You totally do. I tried to do that with playing Verdance in our Blitz armory, and I got smoked by Aurora.
Yeah.
And that sucked.
Yeah, and I kind of took a little break from armory, and I haven't been back for like a year. So, you know, it's all fine.
It is all fine.
I'm just like, I know where like a couple of my decks are, but the rest of my cards are still packed in boxes. And I'm just like, I'm just going to play like a 8-month-old Prism deck, which probably is the same, but yeah.
You wait long enough, it becomes good again, you know?
That's exactly.
We've been waiting.
What we talked about. That's all true for everyone except Reinar, except, you know, at the one-offs where someone does well randomly, but that only happens if you stick to it and suffer through, or you know, accept that you're gonna have less than optimal results some of the time, if not most of the time. But
Blake, would you ever go get a Blood Rush Bellows off of your Sand Sketch plans and then YOLO that for the win?
It is very. Like, that is not a play that I can do. It legitimately is. I stick to my 66.6667 chances of ruining my life. I stick to my 83.333% chances of ruining my life. And I will roll the one, or I will hit the random blue off the top instead of all the sixes in my hand. But I did say, all right, if I'm going to play this list like this person is doing, let me do this same line of play. I did the most damage I've ever done as a Reinar. And I was like, it's just literally hitting every single 1 out of 4 chance in a row. You just do 28 damage and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I should just do it. But like, if it ever, if you immediately do the opposite, your turn ends and you do 0 damage. So it's, are we going to do 0 or 28, or are we okay with hitting somewhere in the middle of like, if I don't do this 1 in 4 chance, I'm going to do 15 to 18 damage. And like, doing all that math when you're in there on your round 7, like, kudos to that man, but also he got 9th place. So you're like, is it successful? It is. It's good for 9th. Are you trying to win a tournament? Are you trying to get 9th place? Are you trying to have fun? What are you trying to do? You got to figure it out.
Look, I would love to get 9th at a calling. I would love to get 9th at the Pro Tour. I would love it. ProQuest, Road to Nats, ninth would suck.
I dig it.
Hell yeah. Love that. Anyway, everybody, thank you for being here for our show. We appreciate you all. Join the Patreon. Lord knows me and Blake need the money as we are here at rock bottom. But we love you. And, you know.
Or use our affiliate link at FatPound.
Shiver me timbers. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you are saying.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, wait, how do pirates say goodbye?
Bye.
Arg. Or adios.
Get dunked on, bitch.